Hello, podcast listeners. This is Daniel Friedlander, and this is the Nintendo Podcast, or Lithcast. And it is March 11th, 2007, and it's episode 30. Podcast listeners, this is Daniel Friedlander, as stated before, and this is Lithcast episode 30. Today actually is a pretty special Lithcast in many respects. Today we've got a few co-hosts on the panel today. We've got Toxic, writes everyone's favorite dissenter column.
Yes. Hello there.
And we got Endor, the long lost forum member,
returning from the dead.
Yes, actually returning from the dead. Do you want to say anything about that just before we start? Or?
No.
Okay. all right. Well, needless to say, I think we have a great panel. We may have some people dropping in and out during the podcast. We may be joined by Jeremy later. We'll just play this by ear. So anyways, this is, as I said before, Lithcast 30. But before I keep saying the number 30, I probably ought to tell you what that song was that you just heard. And that was a song from Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64. It was the Dry, Dry Desert song. And there's a reason that we have this song. Isn't there?
There is.
Yeah. And that reason is because last week, I assume it's over now, I think it's over, GDC, the Game Developer Conference, took place in San Francisco. I didn't go, but I probably should have, but anyways, specifically though, they talked about Super Paper Mario for the Wii. Do you know what the release date is for that, or did they say? Or
April 9th.
Oh, April 9th, wow. This year?
Yes.
Wow, so before Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, which is April 22nd. That's really great. So Paper Mario just is sort of like, I mean, well, it's the same series. So just before I get into the forum stuff and the local site stuff, just does anyone have any thoughts on this, on Super Paper Mario, just while we're on the subject?
Well, hopefully it's better than most other Wii games out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to get your shooter that you really want, Endor.
Not yet.
Toxic, any thoughts?
Well, I don't know why Nintendo does this, but me and a friend, we're going to, like, go up to midnight, you know, go to the local game store and get it. Mm-hmm. But it comes out on a Monday.
Oh.
I always found that weird, Mondays.
Yeah, they actually release, it seems, don't you notice they sort of release either on Sunday or Monday?
Yeah.
Weekdays, anything to screw over the customers.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm actually curious, do you have a game store around that's open till midnight? Or do they just stay open for the game?
I think it's just for the game.
I think Walmart stays open 24 hours now.
Walmart does.
All the Walmarts or just the super centers?
I think all of them. Well, yeah, we don't have any super centers where I am. It's open 24 hours.
Well, you've got like the world's biggest mall around there, so.
Yeah, but that's not open 24 hours. It doesn't
Something in there's gotta be open 24 hours. All right. Anyways, so I think we've probably deviated enough from Super Paper Mario. Oh yeah, but I actually have one more question though. Does anyone here know how the control is gonna work?
No idea.
Aren't they just gonna use the Wiimote just turn sideways like a classic NES game?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I think that's the way it's gonna be.
And you shake it for style moves or something, style points, something like that.
That'd be cool.
Is there for Paper Mario? Do you think there's gonna be a? Well, no. Well, that was that shit. I can't believe I almost asked that. That would have been a stupid question.
Online play?
Yeah, I was gonna ask online play. Of course not. Pokemon Battle Revolution was the first game. Anyways, so but as far as Paper Mario goes, is anyone here like a really either of you? I'm not a huge Paper Mario fan. I mean, I only rented Thousand Year Door, and I played the original N64 one every so often. But anyone here really a big Paper Mario fan? You've beaten them all.
I had a Thousand Year Door, and I had it for about a week. I borrowed it, and I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. Well, my friend and I was never really into it, but I always sort of like watching people play video games, and so for a couple weekends, he'd rent it, and I'd just watch him play it, and it was pretty fun.
You know, here at Mario, they were talking about some sort of new way you can switch between 3D and two-dimensional.
Right.
I know Paper Mario, of course, just has that really neat effect, how, like, when Mario turns, how you can sort of see, like, a 3D version of his 2D self. But...
Yeah.
But what do they mean? Do you know what they mean by that, or...?
Well, the gameplay's a lot like, the original Super Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's a 2D... It's a 2D game, and it's a side-scroller. But, when you play as Mario, you can, switch the field to 3D.
Well...
I don't know the best way to explain that, but
I think what he means is you can change it so that you can walk around like in Super Mario 64.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha. Alright. Well, so anyways, before we actually, you know, go any further as far as talking about games goes, I just wanted to just sort of do the usual song and dance about the message boards and everything. So first up, we've got just, of course, if you want to go to the website, it's lithcast.com, lithcast.com, and I finally got the redirectors up so that if you do go to nintendopodcast.com, it will work as well. While you're there, you may want to check out the forums, and we've got, I think, what are we at? Almost 24,000 posts now. So it's great to see, it's great to see the growth on the forums. Also on the forums, we've got we actually, since the forums have been down, we gave the forums a new look. I mean, that's just part of upgrading, and you know, so some people like it, some people don't. If you don't like it, you can always revert back to the old one anyway. So as far as other site stuff goes, I'm actually going to divulge the first piece of, actually the probably the biggest piece of exclusive knowledge that, you know, even Jeremy doesn't know about. So I guess I'll divulge the first piece of knowledge. So basically last Lithcast, and I'll just tell you a little about what's coming up on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's coming up on lithcast.com. Actually, I'll start off small. I'm not going to get into the big secret-y stuff. Okay, to start off, you may have noticed we've had some people writing columns in addition to our already esteemed columnist Toxic. We just posted up our first column from someone. His name's Bill, And he lives in Japan, so in case you're curious to know that. And basically, he has a neat column. What it is is that it's sort of informational about the Nintendo scene in Japan. And I don't know if either of you two read the badly formatted first column.
Cooking Mama, right?
Yeah, about Cooking Mama. But it was neat because, I mean, obviously the Japanese get many games, including this one, before we do, so... Sometimes it's neat to see, you know, what the Japanese perspective on it is. And he's got a pretty big column on there. We've got a photo gallery of screenshots that he took And I mean, I think his and I think his column has a lot of promise. So that and that sort of gets into what we're going to start putting on the Lithcast site later on. I'm going to be posting up. I think I actually wrote something myself, not really Nintendo specific. It's kind of specific to just all technology companies, but I think Nintendo could follow this, and I think Nintendo's doing a pretty good job. It's sort of a criticism. In addition to that, I'm going to be posting up a second video review of another game, and I can tell you what game it is. Do anyone want to guess what game it is? It's DS.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It's nothing you would really care about. But I reviewed Yu-Gi-Oh! GX Spirit Caller.
We would never have gotten
that. Yeah, I don't think you would have.
Never.
Well, you know, it actually wasn't that bad. Anyways, it wasn't that bad. So, and I've also got, and I just yesterday just got in two more games for review. I got in, we got in Hotel Dusk and Wario Master of Disguise.
I do have Hotel Dusk.
How do you like Hotel Dusk?
Well, I played through it a few weeks ago. I thought it was pretty good. Pretty entertaining. The story was.
I think the drawings of the characters good. Are pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
But anyways, I guess I'll get into that more when I actually could say I've played it a lot. But so the problem with getting up the other review should have been up like last week. The problem is, I actually asked people to click the ad at the end inside the video, and Rever doesn't like that. So I had to edit it and then put it back up. And then they said, well, because we had to bug you about it before, we're gonna make you wait a really long time. So it should be up by Monday. That's the only thing about Rever. The good thing is that they let you get paid, but the bad thing is, they review all your videos.
So you cannot advertise their sponsors?
Well, you can, but you just can't ask people to click. How it works is that at the end of every video, there's going to be like a little ad, and if you click on it, we get some money, which would be appreciated. But we can't in the video ask you to click on it. It was actually really funny though, because I said at the beginning, I said there's going to be a little advertisement, and you see like a little cartoon of a bear trap with on the inside it says click here. So it would have been funny too. So. Anyways, enough about that. So now I guess I might as well divulge the actually really, really secret piece of information about Lithcast.com, about what's coming up and what's actually already there. And this is the Lithcast merchandise store.
Oh
my. I think Toxic has some experience with this because he's a screw. Do you still go to ScrewAttack.com?
I peruse it now and then.
Yeah, they love to talk about their merchandise, and so will we. Now, unfortunately, we only have one logo, so we've got which you have not seen yet. It's actually very, Ooh. It's actually very nice. And I'll give you the story, I'll give you listeners the background story about this. So basically, last Lithcast, I opened up the floor to people who wanted to create logos, and, we got actually an email from this guy, and... I just get his name here. His name was Ricardo. I don't remember what his last name is though. He was great. It's Ricardo. It's a weird last name. Ricardo Ferreira. And he actually is a this guy in Spain who works for this, I guess this Spanish skateboard gear company called Omniware. And so he actually did like a. So he actually did a logo for us, and it looks really cool. So it's very neat. It's only a black and white logo, but we've got it. And so what's interesting though is that once we get the store is up. Well, how it will work is you'll be able to go to Lithcast.com and click on the left. You'll be able to hit the store. There's going to be two stores. There's going to be one for Lithcast merchandise, one for Nintendo Podcast merchandise, because they look so similar, the logos. But in case you actually have a preference, we sell it. It's just a cafe press thing. I'm not actually keeping all the merchandise here. It's very cool. We pretty much sell Lithcast everything. I've actually ordered some merchandise myself. We sell basically like name something, like something weird that we might sell, but not something.
Keyboard?
No, no. Not something that weird. Well, I'll give you an example. We sell Lithcast dog T-shirts.
Okay.
And what else do we sell? We sell Lithcast mouse pads, which is kind of cool. But I mean, it's all the same logo, so you know, unless you want to be extremely weird, then you know, either way. So, anyways, I encourage you to buy something because then that gives we get some money from that. But that'll be up there. That'll be up there shortly. We had a problem though because it had Nintendo characters on it, so we got the people wouldn't manufacture them because we are using their logo. So basically, Ricardo was great. We fixed it, and I'm going to be putting a link up to his site on lithcast.com. There'll be also another page that says like affiliates, and he'll be an affiliate. So, anyways. It's really very neat. And like I say, we sell Lithcast everything. I'll give you an example just because I think this is so funny how much stuff you can sell nowadays because of the internet. I remember back when we had dial up.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Anyways, so we sell dog T-shirts. We sell mouse pads. We sell three different qualities of T-shirt. We sell. Women's T-shirts. We sell sweatshirts with or without a hood. We're selling two sizes of mugs. We sell clocks, sketchbooks,
drywall. Do you sell drywall?
We don't sell drywall. We should sell some drywall. We actually could sell postage stamps, which I know really wouldn't be much of use to you, Endor, but. Anyways, so what else do we sell? Well, I mean, we basically sell everything. So if you ever need like a gift for your grandparents or
yes, my grandparents are avid listeners.
What else? We got two different kinds.
That Daniel, he's pretty smart.
Or something. Anyway, so. What else do we have here? We got coasters.
Do you have license plate frames?
No, because the problem is our logo isn't. We could add license plate frames.
Do it.
Okay, I'll make a note to add license plate frames. No, seriously. Okay, so I guess now we'll be selling license plate frames. We sell two different kinds of bags: messenger bags, tote bags. We have a bumper sticker. We've got large posters, small posters. So we sell a lot of stuff. How many items do we sell? I'm not going to count. Anyways, I think it's about 20-something. And it's all the same logo. So it won't be hard for you to choose which logo you want. It all looks very good.
That's great.
I hope it looks very good, because I actually ordered some merchandise on Friday, and it should be arriving in a few days. I just was cheap and went for ground shipping, so I just, you know. So I'm going to inspect the quality of the merchandise. Anyways. So I think it's probably enough as far as talking about the store goes. And just to recap, you can click at the left of lithcast.com. There'll be a button that'll say store. And then once we really get it working, we'll also have the Nintendo Podcast store. But at the moment, we just have the Lithcast store, but we have the logos for both.
So is the store up now, or will it be up tomorrow?
It's already up because obviously I've ordered merchandise from it. But it's up. I mean, it'll be up. It'll be up. Basically after this podcast is done.
All right.
So anyways, so that's the store. And I'm not marking it up. I mean, the stuff's just expensive just because they just make it expensive, but of course you gotta have some markup, and I didn't choose the markup on everything. How it works, they just say, you know, I can choose a tier markup, and I just chose the low tier markup. So I just set it to low markup, so whatever it makes, I don't even know how much that is off each product, but you know, I figure that it's kind of expensive merchandise, so I kept it low. But actually, there are one of the, you know, we've got. Anyways, that's not the point. We'll talk about prices some other time. So anyways, we probably should talk about the important stuff, like Nintendo.
Let's go for it.
Yeah. All right. So. Basically, probably the biggest event that's happened since the last Lithcast was GDC, as I said before. And a good portion of this show is going to be talking about GDC, if not all of the show. And so we've already talked about Paper Mario, Super Paper Mario for the Wii. There were also some other games. There was the thing about the Valve. There was Valve. There was the spore person saying Nintendo sucks, or the Wii sucks. What else did we have there?
We had the Galaxy trailer.
Yep, we had. Anyway, so at GDC they released some neat stuff. So, yeah, as I said before, there's a person that thought the developer of Spore that thought that.
It was somebody on the design team.
I mean, they ended up apologizing for it, but I mean, let me see if I could find this article. But I think the preface is that some developer over at some Spore developer, I mean, this is Will Wright's game, said that the Wii, I think, is I'm not going to say the exact words, because this is a...
Said it was two GameCubes taped together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine. He said it was two games. Well, in a way it is, but I guess. Well, what is that supposed to mean, though?
Well, he's trying to say that the power of the Wii isn't very good.
I think that actually when I looked at his, what he was talking about, it sort of seemed that he was talking about, the CPU rather than the GPU, so it almost seemed like he wasn't so, like, dogging Nintendo about the graphics, but as so much more of, like, the processing, like.
Yeah, he talked a little about AI.
Yeah, AI.
Yeah.
So I mean, as far as AI go, I mean that would be a Broadway thing, not a Hollywood thing. And So, and then he ended up saying sorry, and let's see here. Anyways, basically he rephrases, I think, what he says. His name was Chris Hecker, by the way. And you know, it's, I mean, he might just be saying this just to keep his job
apologizing, right?
Yeah. I mean, his apology. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Cause, it's a completely different, he's just saying the opposite of what he said before. So
yeah, I know. He's like, I do not think the Wii is a piece of something. Nintendo needs to be applauded for trying to interface on the controller front, the user interface front, on making games accessible, on making a console that you don't need to mortgage your house to afford. Secondly, it's totally obvious, and I'm sorry that I imply otherwise, that everyone at Nintendo is passionate at making great games. Some of the games give me hope that we will... this is almost hard to read. Give me hope that we will be seen as an art form on par with movies and books. I mean,
but again, that's exactly
the opposite.
The opposite of what he said before.
Yeah, that's actually really funny. When someone changes that drastically within one press event, within one trade show, one day, it's probably done. You know, a good part of it was probably done to save his job or save face. Right. Because imagine, I mean, for one thing, I mean, is Spore being made for the Wii?
I'm pretty sure
they hinted at it, but they never really confirmed it.
Well, I mean, if it is, I mean, what he's doing is he would be basically speaking out against one of their own products.
Right.
I mean, this is not just a minor product. This is Spore, and Spore is not, you can't say Spore hasn't been worked on a lot. I mean, this guy, I think, I mean, I don't know that, but there's also a lot of rabid Nintendo fans that would just, you know, what's the word? They would just, something unfortunate might happen to him. I mean, but you know what I mean? He might be put on a hit list or something. He probably didn't mean it. I mean, when did he say that the first thing, that the Wii was a piece of garbage?
He was on like an angry developer panel or something like that. where they just complain.
Huh.
And talk about what's bad about the industry. Or I'll try and...
Yeah, maybe I had too many drinks. So...
Oh, it was called Game Publishers Rant About the Industry.
All right. Sounds like a party to me. So basically this guy's probably it's funny how do you think this guy actually may have done this? Maybe he doesn't really think the Wii is a piece of garbage? Do you think that maybe he's just saying it? Because I've never heard of a Chris Hecker before. Have you?
Not that I can recall.
I mean, so I'm saying maybe he might just be doing this for like as a publicity stunt.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly now that E3 is basically in the can. I mean, where's the best place to say this? Either GDC or like the Tokyo Game Show.
But do you think anybody that's keeping track with GDC or even cares if he says anything about the Wii has even heard of Spore before?
I think a lot. What do you mean? I think plenty of people have heard of Spore.
No, I mean, yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Spore got a lot of publicity when its lead designer went on the Colbert Report.
Oh yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, when I was at E3, it's funny. I only went to E3 once, and I can still talk about it. But when I went there, there was a booth for Spore. I mean, and it was actually really cool because there was, I think it was almost like a seminar with Will Wright, but it was like they would only allow in a few people at once. It was a huge line around the booth, just to, you know, be in a seminar with Will Wright. So, I mean, I think it certainly got a lot of publicity. And I think another thing is that, now, I mean, that may not necessarily be, that may not have been that popular because it was next to the N-Gage booth, so it it didn't have a lot of competition. But, anyways, so I actually have a question for you that's sort of about the N-Gage, and then I'll get back into the GDC stuff, which is, wait, do you notice that, like, I mean, this sort of sounds weird. Does anyone here think that Nintendo's ever going to make, like, a phone?
Nah.
No.
No?
No, I do not.
Didn't they actually make a weirdo phone in Japan or something?
The DS?
No, not the DS. No. Didn't they make some sort of Pokemon phone?
They may have. No, I think... No, I have no idea.
Anyways, all right, I'm just saying, because there's all these unlikely companies like Apple, and I heard recently in an interview with someone with the Zoom people that they might want to make a phone. Yeah, I was just throwing that out there. Probably ought to get back to the GDC discussion, though. So, what else happened? So, yes, Mario Galaxy. What are your feelings on that? I saw the trailer, and I was really, really... I thought it was really great.
Well, they didn't really show anything new, except a few new environments, but... True. I did think it was cool because what we did see in the trailer were we saw giant planets instead of those little mini worlds that he jumped
little asteroids
on. Yeah, but like in the background you could see this almost like a sun.
Yeah,
and then as the trailer continued he got like closer and closer, like maybe there are giant worlds like that rather than just a game consisting of little asteroid things. So that got me excited. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, I think that what's really cool about the I mean, I actually think that Mario, I think it looks like, I think the just the just the structure of all the worlds, the idea that you're hopping through planets and you can have like their own gravity and you know you just get pulled in by the gravity. I think it's kind of, I mean, it's just, I mean, it gives you a, I think it gives you a really good, it gives you like a really strong feeling of like of depth in the game, and sort of the idea that you could travel anywhere in this, you know, in this space type world. Now that's probably not what's really going to happen, but and then what else? I think also the fact that you can I think also, I mean, just if you want to look at this, I mean, I think don't you think the visuals look a little better than they did at E3? I think there's certainly another game that has a bigger improvement that we'll talk about a little later. I think that the visuals, I think, are just... I mean, from seeing it at E3, I think look a lot better. Now...
Are we recording now?
Yep.
Okay.
And so, I mean, yeah, quite honestly, though, I mean, it's not that important. But I got to say, though, Mario looks really great. And I think this is going to be one of those titles where it's one of the, it's going to be one of those titles like Smash Bros. Or Super Mario Sunshine, where it was an early release title. But it'll just, but we'll like look back on it and saying, wow, that looked, you know, really good. Now, I don't know, because the GameCube, I think, certainly is going to have a different run than the Wii. But because what, the Wii is already in second place. It's sold
5 million, I think.
I think the, well, it depends who you ask, I guess. If you ask Next Gen Wars, which I think is, I don't know, I hope, they've sold, yeah, almost 5 million. They're about 4.9 million.
And if you ask Sony the amount of Wii's sold, they'll tell you like 5.
Yeah, and it went, well, the Wii, I mean, the PS3, yeah, the PS3 has sold 1.5 million.
That's okay.
But another thing is like, is as far as selling units goes, I think you almost, it's sort of weird, but you almost, I mean, a lot of companies, I've sometimes used their number of units sold as far as consoles as the deciding number as to what constitutes success. And I think what's funny about that is that all these companies are losing money on these consoles. Just certain companies are losing more. And I think what's Nintendo? Nintendo's only losing $12 on every Wii, and Sony's losing like $400 on every PS3, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So, I mean, when we look at these numbers, it's like, well, who's lost the least amount of money on systems? Well, I mean, it's sort of like who's lost the most. Well, I don't know if Microsoft is still losing money right now. I think Microsoft, if I had to tell you a clear-cut winner right now, well, I would say Microsoft. But if you look at nextgenwars.com, when they have a prediction of how many people picked each one as the winner, only 18% picked the PS3, 29% picked the Xbox, and 52% picked the Wii.
Hoo-wee.
So I think a lot of people picked the Wii as the who they think is going to be the winner. And I think if you look at the growth, I mean, if you think, well, it's November, December, January, February, March, it's in its fifth month right now, and it's sold about five million. If it sells a million every month by the time it's had a shelf life as long as the Xbox, it should sell as much as the Xbox. And it's not like, and I'm sort of disappointed though, is that I have not found that you can get Wiis anywhere. You can't just walk into a store and get a Wii, even though they said you could by February.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that, them saying that?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like you can do it. So that was, that's,
well, what, that's not, hmm? That's, I don't think Nintendo thinks that, I don't think Nintendo thinks that's a bad thing though.
No, of course not, but I'm just saying though, is imagine how much the numbers are going to go up once they can start, well, I mean, getting them on the shelves. Because, I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people are asking me, you know, where can I get a Wii? I mean, and, you know, when is there going to be a new shipment, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times, I mean, there'll be some sort of, like, little insider tip, like on President's Day, there was a shipment going out, and I told someone about it, and then they go there, and oh my gosh, everyone, there's like 30 people who also had heard about it. And because, I mean, the people really want the system, which is pretty amazing. Despite the fact that some people, I think, I'm not sure if this was your comment, Toxic, on the forums, that the Everybody Votes channel is a sort of something to bide their time while they create better games.
Yeah, I think I did say that.
And it's kind of a weird idea, but I'm not sure that Nintendo designed that channel.
I don't know. Why wouldn't they? Who could have done it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just look at the design of that compared to the Mii channel, or compared to, I mean, just the design looks so, the way it's been designed, the way that they manipulate the Miis, it just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't look like the other channels which Nintendo did create. Like the Forecast channel and the News channel, I can kind of believe that, even though I don't think the News channel is very good. But the other ones, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think they made the Everybody Votes channel. I believe the other ones, though.
But the thing is, I don't think they have yet to give other developers the tools to design channels.
Well, sure. I mean, look at the internet channel.
But that's been in development for, or that's been planned for, you know.
Well, we don't know. Quite a while. Well, we don't know how long.
Like they have Opera on the box. If you look at the Wii box, there's an Opera logo.
Yeah, but here's the thing: we don't know how long the Everybody Votes channel has been in development.
It probably wasn't in for very long.
All right. Well, anyways. Either way, though, I don't know. Personally, I like it, but I wish it was an easier. I wish it was a faster way to vote on stuff. Because I don't like having to boot up a whole channel to do it. I guess I think we probably should talk about the next thing at GDC, which is that they showed a good amount of Phantom Hourglass.
Yes, they did.
And I wasn't following GDC super super closely on Phantom Hourglass. I did manage to see some footage of it, and it, out of all the games, if we're going to talk graphics, I think that this one's gotten the biggest overhaul.
In terms of the DS?
Well, in terms of what it looked like at E3.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't see much of a difference. I mean, the animations are really good, though.
That's what, like, that's what
if, I mean. If you see Link running around.
Yeah.
It does look a lot like Wind Waker in terms of animations.
Yeah.
And I really do think the cell...
Shaded?
What?
Cell shaded?
Yes, cell shaded graphics look pretty nice on the DS.
You know, I sort of think it's funny how people, you know, think Wind Waker was just such a bad, you know, and it was funny because, like, SSBM Master or someone on the forums was saying, like, oh, Nintendo should make, or said that they were going to make, I mean, you remember this, it's like some sort of practical joke from EGM or something. And it was like, they're going to make a non-cell version of Wind Waker. Like they'd really waste their time doing that when they've got so many other... When they've got a new console launch.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I suppose that could happen. I mean, they did that with Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green, but what did they really change from... What did they really change? Not much.
Graphical overhaul.
But it was the same still. It was still sort of similar graphic scheme. I mean, what I'm saying is that I don't know if I could picture those Zelda. I don't know if I can even picture Wind Waker as a non-cell shaded game.
No, I don't. That'd be weird. Like, all the water would look realistic.
Yeah. Also, I mean,
it's the yeah.
Also, the character, that'd be weird. The Link character. I mean, a lot of the characters in Wind Waker, and this was something that was on the. Someone posted the history of the timeline of Zelda on the message boards, and I watched it. I thought it was really cool. I wish they had just done it. I hope they have a version of it once now that Twilight Princess is out in the wild. And because I think Twilight Princess had a very cool story. I'm not that far in it, as you know, as you so nicely commented on that post. but either way, I wish they would have done that. But anyways, they said that they brought up a very good point, which is that Wind Waker is. All the characters are extremely expressive. I mean, especially for cell shaded. I mean, those characters have very, you know, good have really strong emotions. Like, you know, you see your sister. You know, even though she says some sort of, you know, you can't tell what she's saying, but everyone's very expressive. Link, you know, Link has a lot of good facial expressions. Whereas if you look at Twilight Princess, in all of the cutscenes, like he doesn't even nod when he wants to say yes. I mean, he just sort of looks he sort of looks happily at the person that's asking him the question. I'm saying is that making a version of Wind Waker that would look like that, I think would be a little bit weird.
But I really like the cell shaded.
Yeah.
I know somebody like Storm would disagree with me, but let's say in about 10 years.
Yeah.
Wind Waker is still gonna look good.
True. Yeah, you're right, because there's not much.
And Twilight Princess is gonna look like Ocarina today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know.
Like Twilight Princess. For the moment, for the present, it looks better than Wind Waker, but...
Actually, you know. A great example of that is just Paper Mario, you know, from the Nintendo 64. It looks right. Looks good on N64. The N64 version still looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I
agree. A lot of 2D games still look good.
Yeah.
Most 2D games look good from the SNES era.
Now, but here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't know if that's really what their intent was, because I don't think Wind Waker's got an extremely high replay value. I mean, I suppose if you're going to go to Windfall Island and do all the mini games and, you know, stuff like that, you know, the side quests, I suppose then it's got some replay value. But aside from that, it doesn't have a lot of replay value. But I think the cel-shaded, though, I mean, look. I think Wind Waker is probably the best cel shaded game I can think of. I mean, can you think of any game that's cel shaded that plays any better?
Beautiful Joe.
Or maybe Beautiful. I never played Beautiful Joe, so I don't know.
Okami.
Oh, maybe Okami. Yeah. Maybe Okami. But I mean, it's certainly up there, don't you think? I mean.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, I think. So as far as Phantom Hourglass goes, is that supposed to be supposed to be the sequel to Wind Waker?
I heard, yeah. That's the direct sequel.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to assume.
All right. Speaking of, while we're on the subject of Zelda, did anyone here see the? So it was apparently a really big deal. That, you know, Shiggy, he was talking.
English?
For a little bit of it. For the beginning.
He had Bill Trin and.
Yeah, Bill.
Translate for him.
Bill Trin must like what he does. because. I mean, all that, but he can modify whatever Miyamoto says. He is the voice of Miyamoto. Because I mean, how much of Miyamoto's stuff? I shouldn't say that. I mean, how much of the things that he says do we pay attention to as much as the stuff, you know, he said, you know, this last week at GDC? And Bill Trin, he gets to say whatever he wants. Now I think Miyamoto knows some English though, so I think he's probably gonna get away with it.
No, he does know English. He just, like, he's been in interviews and he just says he'd rather speak in Japanese.
I think
he's more comfortable with it.
Well, I think when you're talking about, I think with the sort of questions Miyamoto answers, like the sort of really weird artsy questions, how he gets his inspiration, are just sort of probably hard to convey in a language that isn't your native language.
Yeah.
But any thoughts on his conference? Because he said it's been 9 years, and he talked about how the sort of there's been this degradation of the image of the video gamer.
Well, I watched about half of it. I'll probably watch the rest later. But
I haven't watched all of it either. So.
I don't know. It's like there's nothing new in terms of. Just his philosophy. I mean, it's everything we've heard before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad. It was pretty funny actually. The Wi-Fometer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And all that.
Oh yeah, that was cool. And then yeah, he had a lot of jokes, which I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the anyways, I'm not gonna repeat his jokes. Those are his jokes. So as far as did anyone here see the? I'm gonna say the G word here. Has anyone here seen the G4 thing on Attack of the Show with Miyamoto and Adam Suss? About, I mean, not with Miyamoto, but well, it was Attack of the Show. It was Kevin Pereira and Adam Sessler talking about Adam Sessler's interview thing with Miyamoto.
What's G4?
What? I don't know.
That's how I think of it now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't blame you. It's so unfortunate. But as far as no, but seriously, did you see it though?
No, I didn't.
All right. Well, it was.
I don't get G4 actually.
Oh, okay.
Neither do I.
I actually didn't watch it on G4. I watched it on their website. But either way though, I thought it was pretty neat. You know, I'm actually sort of one. Anyway, so that's. I think that's. Is there anything else we missed about GDC though? Oh yeah, one more thing I think that I remember, is that remember the person at what's her name, Kim something, the person at Valve. Did anyone hear that story?
I'm not sure.
All right, no. So there was who said this again? This was Kim Swift, someone who works. She works at Valve, and they said they've been influenced by Nintendo. So I'll give you a quote. It says, quote, we wanted our game to have the Nintendo factor. We wanted to create one piece of gameplay that could be used for a whole bunch of different things. So, for example, Mario jumps. With that jump, people can do a whole bunch of other things. He can jump on enemies, he can break blocks, he can collect power-ups. We wanted the same thing what's the name of that game? Narbecular? I don't follow Valve that much. Drop. Too. Okay, fine. We wanted.
Oh, okay. They're thinking of. You're thinking of Portal.
We wanted portals to be used not just to run away, but to be used for a whole bunch of other things. So yes, Portal. Yes. You know, I never thought of that, but yeah, Mario's jump's pretty multitaskable.
Is that a word?
Probably not. But anyways, is anyone here? I mean, I only play one Valve game, and that's Counter-Strike, which I barely play. But it never hurts to have. It never hurts to have good press. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I'm saying, like, well, you know, that's not a great comment. But, I mean, back in the GameCube days, I mean, you know, if a company like Valve had come along and said, hey, Nintendo is really awesome, then that would have been, you know, that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So, anyways, is there anything else we think we're missing from GDC, or...
Nintendo related?
Or unrelated, but I guess it can't be that far off.
Well, I guess I can do both. Reggie was at the Sony conference.
Oh, I actually didn't know this. Wow.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? What was he doing? Was he...
Or Phil Harrison's conference.
Phil Harrison?
Well, no, I'm just trying to relate it. Did you see the Sony conference, or...
I did not. Phil Harrison, the...
Yes.
Not George Harrison. Oh, yeah, Phil Harrison, okay.
Phil Harrison, yes.
Okay, well, so why? Was he, did he beat him up, or on stage, or...?
Well, when it was over, and, Phil went to the Miyamoto keynote, mm-hmm. Reggie was signing Wiimotes, and somebody yelled out from the crowd and told Reggie to kick, Phil Harrison's buttocks, mm-hmm. and, Reggie said, some would say we've already done that.
And, burned.
Ooh.
And I thought that was pretty funny.
That's great. Yeah, I actually did not know even Reggie had a presence at GDC. I mean, I suppose. Wow.
Hmm. Yeah. But you guys didn't hear anything from Sony? About
the home thing?
Yeah, home and Little Big Planet.
I don't know anything about home or the other thing you just mentioned, but...
No.
You can talk about it, because there might... I think, because actually, on the G4 thing, I mean, sorry, on the unidentified TV stations thing, there was some talk about, you know, comparing some of the channels to Home and how Adam Sessler thinks that Home doesn't have as much promise. But, yeah, do you want to talk about Home, what Home is, just so we can...
Well, Home is like... Okay, I hate explaining things, but it's similar to... Okay, you have an avatar, like a me... but oh god.
it's realistic, not cartoony.
Yes, it's, yeah, exactly. It's so you have an avatar, but you can control them, and they live in this this world, uh-huh. where you can go around and just talk to people. It's basically a giant lobby, uh-huh. and you can have your own apartment, and you can put furniture in it.
So it's sort of like
pictures and movies.
It sounds kind of like Second Life, is it?
Yeah, exactly. That's a almost perfect example, because it does look a lot like Second Life, actually.
So I guess more realistic. Or Second.
I guess you could say that.
All right.
But it's a free service that PS3 owners can download, mm-hmm. in the future.
All right.
And then Little Big Planet is a game. I'm not sure if it's a download where you download it over the PlayStation Network, or if you have to purchase it like a hard copy. But it's a game about user content, where you have these little creatures, and you can make the levels. So, and then you could do whatever you want.
That's sort of like the Mario versus Donkey Kong level creating thing over the Wi-Fi connection.
Kind of, I guess. I think it's more open ended though, more of a YouTube kind of thing. That's the comparison I keep hearing.
Oh.
YouTube. So that was kind of interesting, though.
All right.
Not really Sony or Nintendo related, but.
Well, you know, it's good to know.
Mm-hmm. If we're talking about GDC.
Yeah. Anyway. So, does anyone here know about? There was something else to say. Oh yes. So there was this thing I just saw. I don't even know where I saw it. It was on the internet someplace. I think it was on YouTube. It was a video of this guy talking about how to do homebrew for the Wii or something. And how there's like a few backdoors you can go through.
I think you posted that somewhere.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah.
Is this the one about how you just changed the name to all lowercase letters or something?
Yeah, you posted that.
Look how stupid that is.
That's pretty funny.
Like, the name of the, like, so if the name of the, I don't know what it's called, let's say Panasonic made the drive for the GameCube, so the password was Panasonic Drive, all lowercase letters. Well, now with the Wii, they've upped the security ante. They've made it all caps. So.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's ingenious.
I know. When I heard that, I actually went out to the store, bought a supercomputer to try to brute force the password. Anyways, so
is that your laundry?
I'm not doing laundry.
Never mind.
I do this in a studio, so we don't have laundry.
Oh, I see.
We don't have laundry at the Lithcast building. Anyway, you'll never hear background noise from me. That's for sure. Unless, of course, a plane crashes outside. Anyway, so is there anything else that we're forgetting that was not GDC related? Because, I mean, I can't imagine that GDC was the only thing going on.
I can't think of anything big.
Did anyone here get the... Oh, okay. I'm going to do something. I'm going to steal something from Arbiter's podcast. I hope he won't kill me, but okay. Because there's something that I thought that he did that I thought was... There's a few things I thought he did that were really... I'm not going to do the Congress one. That's pretty nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do... Even though Jack Thompson is suing Take-Two over Manhunt 2.
Mm, which is on the Wii, so...
Yeah. But that's a story. Oh, you know what? Actually, I can't believe we forgot. Did anyone here remember that there was... I mean, this isn't in the U.S., but there's actually virtual console commercials now.
I have not seen any.
Yeah, well, they're on the Wii Japan site. I think it's like wii.com/jp/movie/wii-shopping-ch1. Yeah.
Photographic memory?
No, I actually just found it now. I'm not gonna... Well, should I play it? Anyways, so...
Are they doing this because they have no other games to...
Maybe.
Advertise?
I'm playing the commercial, so...
Okay.
Oh, wow, they're advertising Sonic.
ハードの懐かしのソフトを Wii で遊ぶ Wii のある新しい生活。
Yeah, so that was commercial number one. And basically it was a bunch of games with the Japanese guy talking in the background. But
as opposed to other Japanese commercials?
Yeah, with the Japanese guy shouting in the background. I like the Pokemon one. It's actually great, because there's people shouting in the background. Anyways, so as far as that goes, though... It's funny, actually. It's funny looking at it how they advertise Sonic. I mean, because someone made a post on Lithcast, the message boards, today about, you know, Kingdom Hearts. Who was that again? That was I can't remember who it was, but it was someone made a post. I think it was It was someone made a post about well, I think everything got there's gonna be like an exclusive Wii iteration of Kingdom Hearts. And I think this was, and you know, and I said, well, you know, maybe, because there's Sonic, so.
Well, speaking of that, EGM's April Fool's joke this year.
Yeah.
I think it's going to trick that same person. I think the person that talked about the Wii exclusive Kingdom Hearts was the same person that said, talked about the, oh, never mind, no. But oh well, the EGM April Fool's thing is Mushroom Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. It's like, you remember NBA Street V3, the one with the Mario characters in it?
Yes.
If they made that, I could sort of believe that.
Yeah, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the reason I'm not saying it can't happen is because there's always been. I mean, I, I mean, there was a Nintendo exclusive Kingdom Hearts. I mean, it might have just been terrible, but it was there. you know what I'm talking about, Chain of Memories.
Yeah, for the GBA.
Yeah.
Have you heard of It's a Wonderful World? I think that's what it's called, yeah. The DS game. Mm-hmm. Some are actually thinking that's a part of the Kingdom Hearts franchise.
Really?
Because the characters look a lot like Sora and that chick.
The pop star.
Yes.
Actually, speaking of games that might not normally be made for Nintendo systems, aren't they actually making an exclusive iteration of The Sims for the... I mean, I think we knew that already, but I mean, aren't they doing that? That was on the cover.
My Sims.
What?
Is that what you're thinking? My Sims?
I don't know. It's kind of a cartoony version. It was on the cover of Nintendo Power.
Kind of looks like Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Harvest Moon.
Yeah, Harvest Moon's probably a better example. So, yeah, what's... I wonder what that's gonna be like. Huh, someone playing... Are you playing the Red Steel commercial?
Should you play it, or...?
Oh, no, that's not the Red Steel. That's the Wii commercial.
Okay.
That's the Wii Would Like to Play commercial. Alright, fine. Okay, then. So, as I said before, though, I was gonna steal something that Arbiter does on his podcast. Which is... What are you guys playing right now?
What you've been playing?
Yes.
What have you been playing?
Starts with a G.
Gears of
War? Ends with an Ears of War.
Oh, okay. Ears of War. Okay, so... Can I... Do you want... Okay, who... I'll guess first. Is it Gears of War?
You're partially right.
Oh, okay. Is it some sort of modded version of Gears of War that you've modded yourself?
Well, I'm not entirely playing Gears of War. I'm playing... lots of other games.
Like what?
Fear.
Oh boy, more shooters. That it?
And Rainbow Six Vegas.
More shooters.
And NHL 7.
More shooters.
Not a shooter.
Why is shooting the puck?
Well, yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Not in the same way, though.
And, oh, I think that's about it. Oh, and Call of Duty 2. Oh,
more shooter. You know, we should point out that this is the only guy who's Canadian on our show right now. The one playing the shooters.
Yeah, NHL 07 was the number one selling game in Canada last year.
Really? Last year, and it wasn't even out. Was it?
Yeah, they released the 07.
They released an 06, yeah.
Like, September.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Okay.
Toxic?
I have been playing, I recently got a Gamefly account.
You're trying to get a free DS from everyone on Lipcast.
Yes. Yes, I am. My two games that I've been playing recently are, Sonic and the Secret Rings. And Castlevania: Portrait of Ruin.
All right.
Castlevania's better.
Really? Because I actually have a friend who got Portrait of Ruin as well. And he seems to like it. And Sonic, no good, or is it just not as good?
It's if I had to give it a score, it'd be a 5.5
out of 10.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. And how about Castlevania?
But, Storm can agree with me, but you probably don't want to talk about it with him. He doesn't like talking about it.
About what? Sonic?
Yeah.
Why is he...
I think he had it for about an hour and returned it.
Oh, this one specifically, Secret Ring.
Yes.
I see.
So.
How is Castlevania if you had to give that a score out of 10?
7, 8.
All right.
Somewhere around there.
All right.
It's a lot better.
That's good. Well, I, in case you're wondering, have been playing, I guess, what have I been playing? I've been playing three games recently, but I just got them yesterday, so, okay, Hotel Dusk, Room 215, which is good, but the problem with Hotel Dusk is it's so open-ended that sometimes you don't always know what they want you to do, I find. like, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't have guessed, you know, that one part when you have, toward the beginning, when you have to find the, when you have to clip the coat hanger.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have guessed that you would have.
Like, I didn't, well, my problem with that is that I didn't know where to clip it.
Yeah, that's another thing, is like, well, I figured it really shouldn't matter, I guess.
I just kept poking it everywhere until I got it.
Mm-hmm. Well.
It took me about 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I've also been playing Wario Master of Disguise. I just got that yesterday, so I can't say I've given that much of a go around. But you know, it's not. I'm sort of neutral on the game. I suppose if I was to give Hotel Dusk a score, maybe I'd give it a 6 or a 7. And if I gave if I gave Wario, maybe a 6 or a 7 as well. But only, it's hard to say because Wario looks like it could become more promising later. There's just certain issues with it that don't make any sense.
How are the touch controls on that?
The controls like the worst part, because it's like certain things you can only do with the touch screen, certain things you can only do with the control pad, like jumping, right. For example. Jumping has to be done, I believe, with
the up button.
Has to be done with the up button or the X button. But you can only run into stuff and attack by tapping. And
yeah, that is kind of weird.
Know that, but also if you want, but what's kind of does it when you change him into different disguises is really cool, because if you want to do like his disguise, his burglar disguise, you put a little check mark on him, and if you want to turn him into like a spaceman, you draw a helmet around his head.
I hear later on that a lot of the disguise touch controls where you transition from one to another, a lot of them become similar. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get the one you want.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I haven't played it that far, but, and then the third game I've been playing a little bit is is Zelda, and I'm no Zelda master or anything, so as you can probably know by my progress. So have you beaten already, Toxic?
4 days.
You beat it in 4 days?
Yeah, first week that I got it, which was in November.
Is this the GameCube version like you said you would, or is this the Wii version?
No, I was going to get the GameCube version, but 2 days before the Wii came out, I decided that I wanted it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Is the GameCube version out?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm going to get the GameCube version or anything. I think I'm already fine with being terrible at the Wii version. I mean, you know, but here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to beat it that fast because I sort of want to savor the moment. But you can say that's a cop out of just saying I'm not very good. But still, I think it's probably good to sort of savor the moment as far as the game goes, because it's such a long and involved game. And I mean,
right.
And to be quite honest, I mean, I really liked the game. I mean, I personally, if I were to give it a score out of 10, I seriously would give it a 10. I mean, and if objectively speaking, I'm not even a huge Zelda type of game fan, but objectively speaking, I mean, it's almost like the perfect game in my opinion, aside from a few little things. I mean, and the bosses were amazing. Some of the bosses were more feel here with the lap. The guy in Arbiter's grounds was really fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We won't explain it though, because I'm sure there are some people that have not gotten to that point.
Yeah, it was great though. So, what were you gonna say though, Toxic?
I was gonna say, I actually kind of felt bad after doing it, because that's the fastest I've ever beat a Zelda game. Mm-hmm. And I felt really bad.
Why do you suppose that is? Because I know someone who's beaten it, I know somebody personally who's beaten it, and I mean, it seems like it's not even as like it seems like it's longer than Wind Waker. Isn't it supposed to be like the longest Zelda game?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot longer.
I mean, but I've got that same person I know. It took him like years to beat Ocarina of Time, but it took him like a week or two to beat Twilight Princess.
It's because we're experienced.
That might be it. Because, I mean, I'm, you know, I don't know.
And I also had this drive to just beat everybody.
Yeah.
That too. So, like, I wanted to see the ending before anybody else. Mm. as a Zelda fan.
Does it have a good ending? Don't say what it is, but does it have a good ending?
It's not a bad ending.
Okay, well, that's good enough. Were you disappointed, or were you...
Yeah, because, I did it really fast. So I was, like, expecting...
All right.
I just had higher expectations, that's all. All
right, sounds good. I've got to ask you a question. I'm going to have to ask you a Zelda question off the air, because I don't want to have any spoilers here.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, so...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Endor does not like Zelda.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
Yeah, it's true.
We need to have this debate right now.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay.
Debate what? Like, why is Zelda's good?
Yes.
I think the problem with debating Endor, though, is that I think it's a matter for him is of personal... I mean, I probably shouldn't be speaking on your behalf because you're right here. But... But
go ahead if you want.
It sort of seemed like you're just. I mean, judging by the number of shooters that you have, it sort of seems like you're just. Zelda main is just not your genre.
Well, that's another thing. The thing with the other Zeldas was I found it a hassle to go around and complete the dungeons. But when I actually tried the Wii version, it was fun to play. So, when I get a Wii. Whenever I can get a
That's
Wii,
a win, whenever by the it's way.
A, yeah, not an if. Although if they have an explosion problem, I might have to not get one.
Yeah.
But whenever they come out in black, I'll definitely get one, and I'll probably get Twilight Princess because, out of all of them, it seems the most fun because the other ones are kind of walk around, attack a guy. This one is swing the nunchuck and swing the Wii mode and. You know, do a dance and throw your arms around. It's involving.
Oh, yes. So we can debate him, but it sort of seems like that. Like he, we, like, you know, it sort of seems like you're sold anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sold on Twilight Princess, but none other.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
All right, well,
should we debate him on that other thing he said?
Or
agree with him, or...
I don't know what you're talking about specifically, though.
He said the PS3 launch was better than the Wii launch.
Oh, get off the show. Debate. What's this debate? When someone says that, we just stone them.
Well, he said that on the last episode that he was on.
Okay, then. Remember? Well, that's because I was in the South when we did that episode, so I had to sort of do the Southern hospitality thing. But now that we're in California, I can be a snob.
Well, you're still south to me.
Yeah, technically, it's about this. San Diego's about as south as it gets. At least in this country.
Hey, Toxic, tell them what you thought about my comment.
I agreed with it.
Oh, you thought the PS3 launch was better?
Yes. At the time, I did.
Well, I mean, I suppose there's more drama. You have people like getting shot over it. I suppose it made more headlines, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess by those standards, I guess it was a better launch.
Plus, the advertising for the Wii wasn't very noticeable until like 20 minutes before it was launched.
I think that the advertising for the PS3 was too noticeable. With the baby,
I think it was
crying?
It was too weird. But that's the purpose of an advertisement: to catch the person's attention and to make them think.
But I'm not. I almost wouldn't buy it because I mean, it's sort of like. I know, so there's certain people in my family who shall remain nameless who, and I'm one of them actually, who purposely will not buy a product if we don't like the commercials. That's sort of a big tradition for us, which is that we will purposely boycott people if we don't like their commercials. And
I do that too, but I think the PS3 commercials are what an advertising campaign do well.
I don't know if I want to buy a system which is represented by like some baby crying and some sort of weird whooshing sound in the background.
Actually, some of the ads were okay. One with the Rubik's Cube.
No, you're right. Not all of them are bad. It was just the ones I saw that were bad. But as far as another thing is our commercials, everything at launch. I mean, how could you say that the Wii necessarily had a less successful launch? I mean, look how. I mean, you say successful. Well, the advertising, but I mean, look at the. That's you're right. I mean, that may just be the United States, but look at Canada. I mean, not North America. Look at Europe. I mean, are there even PS3s available in Europe yet?
I think next week.
Not out yet.
I mean, so I mean, is there any? But I'm saying you could probably get a Wii now, like in South Africa, but you can't even get like a PS3 in Europe, probably.
But I think when Endor talked about the PS3 launch, I don't think he meant in terms of success. I think he meant in terms of the quality of the overall quality of the. Launch titles.
Well, I don't think so. I think there's I can only think of two great. I haven't even played any of these, but except for I played Resistance Fallen Man a bit, but I mean.
Yes, Zelda was probably better than anything on the PS3, hands down.
Yeah. But. I'll agree to that.
But, the thing is. Most of the Wii games that we got other than Zelda, were. Nothing. I mean, we have Elbits and...
You're right, most of those were show-offy of the controls.
Right, it wasn't... There weren't really games, per se, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Solid titles.
But they were more like a game you'd get if you had to get a game. Hmm. Not one of your, you know, right. Oh, I have to buy that, but, you know, right. If you think, maybe I should get a new game, maybe I'll get this one. Yeah, it looks okay.
Yeah, exactly. But the PS3 had... Even though the games were fantastic, they were solid titles, you know. Do you kind of see?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I know what you mean, but it's you know. But here's the thing, though, is that, I mean, you say, well, okay, they've got solid titles, but I mean, you know, as a launch, I mean, you can look at. Another thing I think is that, is a good launch. Is a great launch necessarily a good thing? This sounds weird, but I mean, let's look at something. Let's look at the past. Let's look at the Wii had a pretty good launch too. But what I'm saying is like, let's look at the GameCube. I mean, I think the GameCube had a great launch. I think you had some great launch titles for the GameCube too. But then just afterwards, the developers just sort of dropped out. And why did they drop out of the GameCube? Well, I think people were sort of sore towards Nintendo because they had been charging these huge royalties on the N64, and they just didn't. And the GameCube, some people think, including myself. The GameCube was done more as like a mending of friendship type of console. And if you look at, the PS3, and not so much the 360, because the 360, they've been pretty good to their developers. But, I mean, the PS3 chart, I mean, Blu-ray is not cheap to develop for. And from what I've heard, they haven't been making it so super easy to develop for Cell either. Who knows how long Resistance Fall of Man has been in the works is another thing. I mean, who made Resistance Fall of Man?
Insomniac.
But I mean, it's like, I mean, how often is Insomniac going to have, or, you know, any other developer going to have the opportunity to throw a lot of money at a game like they probably did at Resistance Fall of
Man? Sony?
I mean, that's another thing, is that it's exclusively... Sony, the problem with this stupid Blu-ray versus HD-DVD thing is if you're developing for one, you have to throw a pretty big gob of money to develop for Blu-ray. Well, do you want to throw another gob of money to go develop for HD-DVD? And, I mean, I think for the Wii, though, I think you look at it, DVD and Blu-ray and HD-DVD and Blu-ray are all backwards compatible from each other. So, I mean, because a Blu-ray player and an HD-DVD player can all play DVDs. So... I mean, it's easy to develop for the Wii, especially because it's just similar to a GameCube architecture anyway. What I'm saying though is, from a developer standpoint, does it look like the same sort of thing does it look like the N64 PS1 conflict, where Nintendo just made it so hard to develop for one of them, and it was so different than developing for the other, that it just wasn't worthwhile developing.
Well, the one thing I've heard about Blu-ray that's good is it gives the developers the space that they need to develop awesome games. Because, like, the game Mass Effect for the 360, mm-hmm. the game barely fits on one disc, and at first they thought that it would have to be on two discs. But they had to go through compressing and pulling some neat tricks to make the game fit on one disc. And I think if that's really a hassle, then the Blu-ray is a pretty good way to distribute a game.
Well, not necessarily. Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. But how often do we see a game like Mass Effect where it could require more than one disc? I mean, it's not that common. Like, the consumers are paying extra to see that. I mean, like, for PS3, the really the only developer that's actually going to take advantage of the Blu-ray is Metal Gear Solid 4 with Hideo Kojima.
Konami?
Yes, Konami.
I mean,
so
yeah, but look at the GameCube's disc limitations. I mean, that's kind of like the same thing. If you have to put a game on two discs, it's kind of a hassle.
They never did.
And
well, Resident Evil 4.
Oh yeah, good point. Resident Evil 4. Okay. But another thing is that, I mean, Blu-ray though is like twice the cost of HD DVD anyway. Look at trying to buy a Blu-ray player versus trying to buy an HD DVD player. It's about twice the cost anyway. So, I mean, what difference does it make to them? It's as far as that goes, it's well, I mean, what does it really make a difference as far as I'm getting myself into a rat hole here. So what I'm saying though is that if you've got a game that's like twice the price, and so if the game's twice the price for a, I mean, the game isn't twice the price for Blu-ray because it's not $120 for a Blu-ray disc. But what I'm saying though is that if someone wants to fit all that on one disc, I mean, the other thing is they don't need to. I mean, they look at Metal Gear, not look at look at look at look at Gears of War. Gears of War looks a heck of a lot better than a lot of the stuff I've seen on the PS3.
Anything on the PS3.
Yeah.
Right, as of now.
As of now. And what I'm saying, though, is that that's only one disc, I think.
Yeah, it's one disc.
And as far as if you're going to say, well, length is a problem, I mean, you could say that, well, you can't fit a huge, long, in-depth game on a 360, on HD DVD. I think how can you even say that? I mean, we just had this huge leap from a 4.7 gigabyte disc to these 25 gigabyte discs, and we were able to do it in the 4.7 gigabyte discs. We're able to do it with Zelda Twilight Princess, which is a pretty long game. So, I mean, what's really stopping them, I think, is just, you know, is just the incentive as developers. I mean, not everyone has enough. Yeah, you're right. For the certain developers that do have enough money to afford a Blu-ray developed game or a long game and an extremely long game as well, like Metal Gear. Metal Gear isn't a long. Is Metal Gear long?
They usually have a lot of content, so Hideo, I think Kojima is probably trying a lot of new things that pushes the hardware. So,
yeah, well,
I think it's more of a technical thing than a length.
Another thing is like, look at the one developer that is, as you say, that actually is really pushing for the added Blu-ray space, which is Kojima. I mean, but look, this guy isn't putting all of his eggs in one basket. He's got they're licensing Snake to Smash Brothers.
And Kojima Good Productions point. Just had Lunar Nights.
Yeah, and Lunar Nights for the DS.
On the DS.
And Yu-Gi-Oh! Spirit Caller, which is not his game, but it's the same company.
Yeah.
I just had to throw that in.
Well, Dan, the way you make it seem is that the 360, the games are on HD DVD discs. They're not. They're on regular DVDs.
Okay, that's even better. That means that there is that added possibility for a big disc on a 360. I mean,
and just one thing before I go, Gears of War is not a very long or detailed game.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean it as far as length. I just meant, you know, visually, it looks really great.
You can't beat those graphics yet, but. As far as the storyline goes, it's probably 5 hours max.
Hmm. All right, well.
All right, and this is where I say goodbye.
All right, everyone say goodbye, Endor. Goodbye,
Endor. Bye, Endor.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right.
Ooh.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So as far as... You know, so actually, now that he's left, I think we'll probably just end up now, because we're already, what, an hour and 20 minutes, and I'm going to have to go soon. So I probably, let's just get into the, let's just actually wrap it up, unless you think we have anything else we need to address.
I have nothing. Or wait, about the Blu-ray thing?
It doesn't matter. I mean, anything. It's, you know.
Well, just a small thing. Andor mentioned that, you know, convenience with the Blu-ray. How if you could fit a two-disc game on one disc or something like that. I mean, yeah, that is convenient, but it's not that convenient, you know what I mean? Like, how hard is it just to pop out a disc and put it in another one?
Well, yeah. Mm. And also, you know, anyways, so, okay. With that, I think we will go into sort of wrapping it up. So before we wrap it up, I just wanted to remind you all that you can go to lithcast.com and click on the forums button, join the forums. We will have some new columns, some new videos up. We're going to be having the store up at the left. You'll be able to click on the store button. You'll be able to choose from the Lithcast store, the Nintendo Podcast store. You can also click the contact button, send us an audio or text email message, or you can send an email to NintendoPod or NintendoCast@gmail.com with any corrections, critiques, insults, questions, anything you can send. Well, not anything. I mean, virus is not always so appreciated. You can also send us an audio comment. We only have one audio comment, and it's just sort of like a fan audio comment. I don't know if you probably won't be able to hear it, Toxic, but I'll play it anyway.
Okay.
All right. So this audio. Oh, yeah. It'll sound like I'm talking to myself, and I'm really just gonna. Never mind. All right. So let me just play this here.
Hello, this is Amanda from Florida.
Hello.
I just wanted to let you know that I listened to your podcast for the first time today, and I really enjoyed it. It was really good. I heard you talk a lot about the website, so I checked it out, and the forums are down, but once they come back up, I'll register. I just wanted to let you know that you're doing a great job, and I hope to hear more in the future. Have a good day.
All right, well, that was a pretty inspirational audio message there. It was basically someone saying, "Well, what are you doing, Tox? What are you?" Never mind. I won't ask.
Okay, sorry.
So it was just there was someone saying, "Oh, good job." So, anyways, thank you. That's from Amanda. Thank you, Amanda. And so, as I say though, you can always send us a audio comment or text comment, and also, like I said, check out the some of our videos up there. I click the ad at the end. I can't say it necessarily on the site or in the video, but I can say it here. Please click the ad at the end. We get some money for that. We get a little kickback. Also, you can join the Folding team. That's folding.stanford.edu. Download the GUI text or screensaver client, now available for Mac OS X with Intel. They finally got out the Intel version. I think they were just hesitant to do it because I think they just didn't. They weren't sure when Leopard was coming out, or they wanted to do it a little bit closer to Leopard. Anyways, you can download that. Team number is 45501, and then you can donate your work units in the name of the Nintendo Podcast. So, anyways, I think this is about the end of the road for Lithcast episode 30. Hopefully you enjoyed it. You enjoyed our discussion. So, anyways, this is Daniel Friedlander signing off. And anyways, Toxic's also right there.
Yes, I'm here.
And I guess we will see you at the next Lithcast. All right, goodbye.
Bye.